If you can turn in your Bibles now to Psalm 98. If you have the Pew Bible, it's page 500. Psalm 98. Two other quick announcements. We are looking for nursery volunteers. I knew we were short one today. I'm not sure if we got that. We're looking for two next week. And for many other weeks, there's a sign-up sheet out there. So please, that'd be a great way to serve. I would, I'm telling you, but I have to be here, so my hands are tied. Blame the session. So, also, December 24th, 6 o'clock, Christmas Eve service. It's going to be just a wonderful, another wonderful worship service. Normal worship service in the morning, normal worship service, and Sunday school, that's all the same, but then an additional one at 6 o'clock at night, so it'll be wonderful. So, hoping you can all come to that. With that being said, let's listen to God's word as we read Psalm 98. A psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is absolute truth and profitable for us. And Father, as we look at this psalm, Psalm 98, change us. Grow us in our love for Jesus, for you. Grow us in our faith. And if we are here this morning, we have never repented of our sins and have never trusted Jesus alone for our salvation. Use Psalm 98 to bring us to faith and repentance in Christ. We plead this, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we come to this psalm, the psalm of celebration, the psalm of joy this morning. And it seems fitting, right? Because we are in the season of joy, the season of celebration. If you haven't seen any of, if you haven't been to Walmart, you just go to Walmart, you'll see that we are in that season. But also, Psalm 98 is it's interesting. Psalm 98 is very similar to the song that Mary sings in Luke 1, where she rejoices about her pregnancy with Jesus. In other words, Psalm 98 is a Christmas psalm. It's a Christmas, right, Frank? Okay. Let's look at it. Look at verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. So the first thing the psalmist tells us here in Psalm 98 is to sing to the Lord. Sing songs of praise to God. Why? Why? Why are we to sing songs? Because of all the marvelous works that God has done. All the marvelous works God has done. Think about what God has done. He has created all things. That's a marvelous work that we can praise him for. Think about what else about what God has done. He sustains all things. We're not deists here, right? We don't believe that God made us and then just let us go. He made us, he created us, and then he sustains us. He's sovereign. He's in complete control of all things. Pretty marvelous. But then trickle it down to our own lives. Just think about 2017 as we do a year in review, right? Just in 2017, no matter how hard your life might have been this year, I mean, some of us, we've had hard lives. Think about the blessings that God has given us. Think of the marvelous works that God has done in our life just in 2017. God has done marvelous things, and we are to sing a song of praise to him. We are to rejoice and praise him. But notice what else the psalmist says here in verse 1. The greatest, most marvelous thing that God has done in our life, if we are in Christ, is give us salvation. And if we're not in Christ here, we don't know about Jesus, one of the greatest things that he could do in your life if you come to Jesus, and that's give us salvation. Jesus or God saves. Jesus saves, and we should sing songs of praise. Go back to Genesis 3, think about the fall of mankind. But think about Genesis 3 as well, Genesis 3:15, and think about how right away in Genesis 3:15, after the fall, he shows grace by promising us Jesus. Our God is amazing. Think about the Old Testament, though. You get past Genesis 3:15. Think of all the prophets and how they looked forward to the day of Jesus and the day of salvation. Think of all the people who appointed people to Jesus. Think about the sacrifices of the Old Testament. You know the stuff in Leviticus that we kind of just run through as we do our reading? Think of all the sin in the Old Testament. And think about how the sacrifices and the sin point us to Jesus and our need for salvation. Think about that and praise God. Think about that and sing a song of praise. I was thinking actually in the middle of this sermon to just start singing. But then Deanne would have to get up, and that would be rude of my part to ask her to do that. But think about all that and praise God. Do you see the excitement? Do you hear the excitement in the psalmist's voice? All the marvelous works that God has done, and we should sing to him. We should sing praises to him. Yes, sing. Sing. No matter how horrible your voice is, sing. But God has done more than that. God has made known his salvation. Look at verse 2. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. So from Genesis 3:15 on, God makes known his plan of salvation. He made it known through Noah, through Abraham, through Moses, through Jeremiah, through Paul, through John the Baptist. I didn't go in order there. I realize that. Through Jesus, and maybe, hopefully, through us. Through us, he makes his plan of salvation known to the nations. It's kind of funny. We've been visited many times by Jehovah's Witnesses. One day they caught Kim at home. Kim even said, I'm a pastor's wife. That's kind of a, you know, get out of jail free card. You know? And they keep coming back. And so now I answer. And I even share the gospel with them, hoping they won't come back, right? No. But through that, God works. And I think it's hilarious. And I get further and further with the gospel, I think. Maybe not yesterday. The kids all listen. They're like, what's Dad going to say now? But through moments like that, we make the gospel known to all the nations. Praise God for that. Praise God that the salvation is not just limited to Montrose, Colorado. To Israel, and we'll get to that in a second. Or to any just one certain geographical region, but all the nations are made known. Our salvation is made known to all the nations. But of course, it's not just nations. God makes known salvation to what? Individual people. That's where our Reformed theology comes in, which is biblical. It's important that God proclaim salvation to all nations, but individually. He comes to us and he makes known salvation to us all. If you are saved, each and every one of us, we have a testimony of how God revealed and made known salvation to us. Isn't that beautiful? We have no right to hear the gospel. We do nothing to deserve to hear the gospel as a nation or as an individual. And yet God proclaims it to us. And now notice something else, though. God proclaims salvation, and he reveals what? Righteousness. He reveals righteousness. So God proclaims salvation, but he also reveals righteousness. So in other words, he reveals his holiness and his righteousness to us as well. Which is important because until we can see the holiness of God, we don't see our total depravity. Now, of course, we never fully see the holiness of God. But as God slowly reveals himself and shows his righteousness, we see our sin and we see our need for Jesus. It's beautiful. God reveals his righteousness as well as salvation. But God does not forget Israel. God does not forget Israel. Look at verse 3.
He proclaims it to all nations, but verse 3, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, we're not going to get carried away here. Okay, that's my disclaimer. We're not going to go crazy here. But God did not forget Israel. He proclaims salvation and righteousness to all nations, to the individual, and to Israel. And to Israel. He did not forget Israel. Remember, I mean, that's why Israel's in the Old Testament. He reveals himself to his chosen people, Israel. Jesus comes. It's not like, okay, we're done. No. What did Jesus say in Luke 24? Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Which, okay, not the same word, Israel. He began with Israel. Jesus began with Israel. And Paul says the same thing in Romans 1:16. Frank taught this about 4 years ago as we go through Romans. But for, that's our weekly laugh at Romans study. But for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So one thing we are so good at doing, I think, in the Reformed camp is throwing out Israel. Nations, Gentiles. No, we don't do that. He didn't forget Israel. Okay? He didn't forget Israel. Salvation and righteousness is proclaimed to all nations, including Israel. But then look at verse 4. The psalmist can't contain himself. I think I would have been a good psalmist. I have that energy, right? I can't write, but I can at least get excited. But look at verse 4, because that's kind of like the excitement. He talks about all the nations, the salvation is proclaimed. And verse 4, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Again, think about what he has done. This is what the psalmist is saying. Praise the Lord. Look what he's done. Salvation, righteousness, all the nations, Israel too. And then what? Break forth in song. Make a joyful noise. All the earth, no matter where you're from, no matter where you're going, make a joyful noise. If you're here, brothers and sisters, if you're here and you are saved, make a joyful noise. And I don't feel that this psalm is written exclusively just for worship, corporate worship. But individually, privately, make a joyful noise and praise God. Break forth into song, praising God every day for what he has done. But how many of us, I'm going to get negative. Instead of breaking out into joyous song, how many of us just constantly complain? Instead of breaking forth into joyful noise, how many of us live like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? You know, just a downer. Negative. We should be singing for joy. That's what the psalmist is saying. We should be making a joyful noise. And I know what's going to come back at me right now. We're playing tennis. Here's the volley back. I've had a horrible week. I've had a horrible year. I can't even make ends meet. I can't pay the bills. Or my dad, he's sick. Or this family member is sick. Or this is happening, that's happening. The negatives of life. And absolutely, my heart breaks for you. And I mean that completely truthfully. We all have hardships. We all have trials, including the psalmist, whoever it was. That's not his point. His point is, in the midst of your hardships, in the midst of your trials, your pain, your anguish, make a joyful noise. Why? Because he revealed salvation to you. He has revealed his righteousness to you, his grace to you. Sing for joy. And that's hard. But that's where we depend on the Holy Spirit to work in our heart, enabling us that we are free and enabling us to remember that we are free to be joyful. And we don't have to be angry. We don't have to be Eeyore or sad. The Psalms are full of emotions, including anger, including sadness. We love those, right? We run to those. Let's do that one.
But the Psalms are full of joy and praise. Let's do that as well. Now look at verse 5 through 6. Sing praise to the Lord with a lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. So here we see the psalmist desired the praise. He's escalating his praise. Do we see that? And this time with instruments. Now the Hebrew word for lyre is a piano, and the Hebrew word for trumpet is actually organ. No, it's not true at all. Okay. That's not true at all. What the psalmist is saying is praise the Lord, use instruments. Praise the Lord, use instruments. And when we think about that, and then we transition to, I don't like certain instruments in worship. I don't like when we use that. I only want to use this instrument. We see how utterly ridiculous that is, and we see how incredibly self-centered that is. That makes worship about us and not our God. The psalmist is saying, praise the Lord and use instruments. Well, why don't we have a drum? Because we would go deaf. Okay? Use common sense as well, I think, is what the psalmist would say. But use instruments. Make joyful noise. And again, this isn't isolated just to corporate worship, but in our life. When you go home with your family, sing. If you can play instruments, play instruments. I just imagine the Wilcox family like just jamming every weekend with Indy on the guitar. But praise the Lord. But now look at verse 6. We praise our God who is our Savior, but what else? He's also our King and our Lord. Westminster Confession of Faith defines what it means to be Jesus as our King, or God as our King. This is what the Westminster Confession of Faith Shorter Catechism says. Christ executes the office of a King in subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. So we praise the Lord with instruments. We sing songs of praise, but we also sing songs of praise. Why? Because God is our King. Jesus is our King. He is our Lord. He rules us, even in the Western Slope where we're all libertarians. That's awesome. He defends us from our enemies. He loves us. That is our King, and that is our Lord. Let us sing a joyous song to our King. But then it gets amazingly big, mind-blowing, huge here in verses 7 through 8. Worship is not just limited to us, people who are made in his image. Worship is for all of creation. 7 and 8, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. All of creation sings glory to God. Now, of course, this is poetry, so we have to realize that rivers are not literally clapping their hands, right? We know that mountains aren't literally singing, but don't tell me for 1 minute San Juan Mountains do not display the majesty of God. Do not tell me for 1 minute that Yellowstone National Park doesn't just shout out the glory of God. All of creation displays God's majesty. And in a sense, doesn't it worship him? Though, of course, creation is fallen and tainted by sin. But all of creation sings for joy. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Again, Romans 1:20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. The amazing, beautiful night sky here does not sing praises to man. It sings praises to God. The beautiful Atlantic Ocean from Florida's point of view, praises not man, but God. All of creation does that. All of creation does verses 7 and 8. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? But finally, we come to verse 9. And when I say finally, we still have a little bit to go, kids, so don't worry. Before he comes to judge the earth,
He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. So God is the Savior, the King, the Lord. But what do we learn in verse 9? He's also judge. God judges with righteousness. That means he judges fairly and justly. Completely righteous. How many of us maybe have been the victim of an injustice through the court system? We think and we think of our court system as just a completely fair and equal court system. Not always. But with God, he judges with righteousness, fairly and justly. God will judge according not to our righteousness or our definition of righteousness, but his definition. But he also judges people with equity, without favoritism or bias. He will judge people equally. That means the rich will not get special treatment. That means it doesn't matter what skin color you have. It doesn't matter how much money you make, as I already said. It doesn't matter what country you are from. It doesn't matter how good you think you lived your life. It doesn't matter how much money you give to charity throughout your life. He judges according to his righteousness equally. Isn't that scary? Isn't that scary? Because how many times have we lied? How many times have we not honored our mom and our dad, even as adults? How many times have we not been content in our own life and coveted something? How many times have we gotten angry? How many times have we worshiped something that wasn't God? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And maybe that's just by 8 o'clock this morning, right? And yet here the psalmist praises God. He praises God. And then in verse 9, he says that he will judge, and he will judge with righteousness and equity. He will judge according to his holiness. And though we might not think we're that bad, we're not perfect. We're not getting it 100% like God. And that means we are guilty. We are guilty. That means we cannot stand before the judge when we die. But that's the Christmas story. Because that's why Jesus came. Matthew 1:21. The angel tells Joseph why Jesus will come. What does he say? To save his people from their sin. We celebrate Christmas not just to get gifts, not just to go through family traditions, but to rejoice that the Savior, the Lord, the King, the Judge came to save us from our sin. Because of Jesus, we can stand. Because of Jesus, God will judge us and see us as righteous, as 100% perfect. Not because of anything we have done, but because Jesus stands in front of us. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our King. That's beautiful. Do you see why the psalmist is excited? Because he knows his sin. And he can't wait, in the context, he can't wait for the Redeemer to come. Here he is, he's excited because he knows that God promised the Redeemer, and the psalmist is writing this, and he knows that one day the Redeemer will come. The Redeemer will come, and he will save his people from their sin. He doesn't even know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, and he's this excited. We know the rest of the story. Let us be excited, and let us sing songs of praise. Not just here, not just as we end, as Deanne plays the last song of the morning, but every single day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice. Rejoice. It's not just about our theology. It's not just about being a member of this church. Rejoice. Rejoice. And if you are here, if you're here and you're not in Christ, you've never repented of your sins. You've never admitted that you are a sinner and that you're sorry for your sins, and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Repent. Because Jesus, God, is our judge. And we will all stand before him. And if we are not in Christ, we are guilty. No matter what we have done in our life, no matter how much we've given to others, we are guilty, guilty, guilty without Christ. So repent and make Jesus your Lord, your King, your Savior. And then you will stand before God and you will be seen as holy, holy, holy because of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalmist. Thank you for the excitement he has for you, the love he has for you, and the desire to praise you, to sing a joyful song to you. Father, for those of us who you have already saved, help us have that passion. Help us have that excitement for you. Help us praise you. And Father, we need your Spirit to work in our hearts to help us do that. And especially some days are just harder than others. Help us rejoice and be joyful in Christ. Father, finally, for those of us here this morning who are not saved, who are not in Christ, I pray that you will show them your righteousness, your holiness, and that they will see their sinfulness, and that they will see that they cannot stand before you, and they are guilty, but that there is one and only one way to be found innocent, and that's through Jesus. Bring them to Jesus, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.